on wings.
You see, we are the unsung heroes. Journalists are the unsung heroes. We go out there, we tell stories of other people's.
Sophie Njoka is a journalist in Mombasa, Kenya, and a co-founder of the organization Article 27, which includes female journalists and women human rights defenders. She was interviewed by longtime Wings correspondent Diana Wanyonyi.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
My name is Sophie Njoka. I'm a journalist based here in Mombasa, Coast Region. I'm a practicing journalist currently with the mainstream media. I'm passionate about human rights, especially in terms of gender equality and also in terms of violations that usually target women in our society.
Who is Sophie? Can you just give me a background about Sophie, your education, your family, then what gave you passion to join journalism?
For someone who doesn't know about Sophie, I'm the third born in a family of six. Mainly, we are women, so I've grown up in a setup of women. That is why I've embraced womanhood up to now, where I am. Because I do not know, growing up surrounded by women, I do not know how it feels to be a man. That is why I've embraced womanhood. I'm a degree holder from the University of Nairobi. And also, I'm a mother to two lovely boys. By the way, back in school, I didn't want to major in journalism. I just became passionate about writing. I've done procurement. I just became passionate about writing after a close relative introduced me into journalism. And that is how I found myself in the newsroom. I'm not a trained journalist, but where I am, where I sit from, I've done short courses in matters journalism.
Mm-hmm. What kind of stories do you do, and how many years have you been active in journalism?
I've been an active journalist for the past 8 years. This is my ninth year, come to the end of this year. And I'm passionate about human interest stories. I've been a court reporter before. Even currently, I'm still practicing as a court reporter. I do gender stories. I also do other areas like crime. I've majored in crime. I usually do crime reporting. I also do environment and health stories.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us one of your best stories that you still remember?
I have several. I've done several stories that brought major breakthroughs. You see, as a reporter from where I sit from, whenever I see breakthroughs in those stories that we are telling, I know that I am one in my small way. I've told stories about gay population, which is a newborn baby in our country right now. It's a very sensitive area up to now. No one wants to speak about it, but I've brought changes in this area, even in enabling a person who was a gay man get treatment at the Coast General Hospital.
If coverage of gay rights is a newborn baby in Kenya, reporter Sophie Njoka has been one of its midwives. Article 27 of the Kenyan Constitution guarantees equality and freedom from discrimination. But living up to that promise is another matter. Sophie is active in a group comprised of female journalists and human rights defenders, whom she calls HRD for short, and that is where she got the lead for a story that changed a life.
We have a small network that includes of female journalists and women HRD, where we share stories. And someone, a woman HRD in that network, shared a story about a gay man who had been declined treatment by the virtue of him being gay. So he had been sodomized previously.
Here in Mombasa?
Yes, within Mombasa. He had been sodomized very badly, and he required a P3 for him to prosecute the case. So when he went to the Gender Recovery Center for him to be assisted, there was no one to attach to him, having the perception that we do not have any way of treating gay men. So when the story was raised up in the network, I picked up with the victim, and he was able to explain to me that he has been at the hospital for the first, second, and third day. No treatment had been offered unto him. So what I did is I called a nurse at the same hospital and asked him, could you perhaps facilitate the treatment of this man? He's a victim who has been sodomized. He's in pain. He also needs P3 form for him to prosecute the case. And that is how he got treatment. He managed to get treatment and also get the P3 form. And that is how now the perpetrators were able to be arrested.
Now, Sophie, can you tell us about the organization that you are working with? How did it come about?
I am the Secretary General of Article 27. It is an organization that is inclusive of female journalists and women HRDs. We are based here at the Coast Region. And how we came about the organization is that when COVID hit, there were no sources of news because everyone was required to work back at home. But you remember at that particular time, there were so many increased violations. Cases of gender-based violence were on the increase while everyone had retreated back home. So these cases were being raised. However, there was no clear channel of who had been abused, who has been violated. So we, as the founder, as one of the founders, we gathered six women. I remember I was the only journalist and other human rights defenders drawn from Coast Region. And they said, see here, look here, we have to find a way of telling these stories. There is an increase of abuse of children, men, and both women. How do we come up together? So we decided, let us form a WhatsApp group where we can share up these cases. In the formation of the WhatsApp group, we also added key government agencies, officials, representatives of various organizations who would also make our work easier. For instance, so-and-so had been reported to have been beaten somewhere within Mombasa. So the case has been reported there by a certain human rights defender. How do we come to the rescue of that specific person? We have to involve police officers to come for that person, be rescued, either be taken to a safe house or the case be prosecuted. And that is how we found that we had formed the Article 27. We are at 2 years. End of this year, we'll be celebrating our third year. The important role, you see, we are the unsung heroes. Journalists are the unsung heroes. We go out there, we tell stories of other peoples. And in the initial formation of the network, we thought it twice to include journalists in a way that they would amplify the injustices that were ongoing in our society. By how? By telling out these stories as so-and-so rights had been violated. Also, we've turned, besides from telling the stories of others, we've also turned the network to be a safe space where if I'm beaten, I'm unable to tell my own story. If my own rights are violated, I'm unable to tell my own story. So there is that woman HRD in that specific group in our network who will pick my story and amplify my voice on my own behalf and say, see, Sophie's rights have been violated. So what do we do? Do we protest? Do we demonstrate for her also to get justice?
Sophie was asked if what their group is doing might be dangerous. She uses the term GBV in her answer, short for gender-based violence.
So security-wise, we've undergone several trainings in terms of GBV matters where we know if you are the victim, if Sophie is the victim, there are areas of her life that I'm not supposed to disclose even to the public. There are areas where we have code of conducts for our members where you are required to sign. It's like taking an oath where you shouldn't tell Sophie was abused by her husband on a certain day, despite me having disclosed that, you know what, this is what I'm going through. I also have a GBV case in my own home, but you do not go speaking that Sophie has done so. In our code of conduct, we know the aspect of not revealing the name of the victim.
Next, interviewer Diana Wanyonyi asks about gender-based violence experienced by women journalists on the job.
How true is it about issues about gender-based violence in newsrooms, in media houses in Kenya? Do you have any experience, and what should be done?
A very gray area right now, even as I speak. I know the reason why we need to fight for female journalists in the newsroom in terms of sexual harassment. I just decided it is very prudent. However, journalists are unable to speak by themselves. I know myself, what made me speak is having witnessed myself being abused by a colleague. No one spoke about me. And it reached a time when I decided enough is enough. These things are ongoing within our newsrooms. But by the virtue of us having male bosses, the sexual harassment will still continue. Because you go report to a male boss that so-and-so has abused my rights as a woman. But the response from them is not appealing at all, at all. Him being a man, my boss being a man, and the person who has already abused me being a man, they'll tend to cover up for each other. So we came up with ways of confidentially finding ways and mechanisms of reporting these cases amongst journalists. Right now, currently, we are dealing with several cases where journalists have been abused, and we are trying to carry out awareness. You are there to work, just like your fellow male journalists. We are there to work. We are not there to be used as sexual objects. We are there to work, do our work, and I'm not there for you to sexualize my body or sexualize me while I'm working.
Can you tell us about your story? What happened?
I remember it's right now, this is the fourth year, very fresh dates in my mind. A new colleague had come from Nairobi, and I was walking to the washroom. He was leaving the washroom, and from nowhere, he just touched my breast. So I was kind of surprised because it was quite inappropriate of him to touch my breast. He just grabbed my breast with his hand and touched me. So I was shocked. In that moment, I just took my back behind and asked him, "What have you just done?" Then for him, it was like he had done nothing. So I provoked him and asked him, "What have you done? Because now what I'm doing, the next step that I'm taking, I will write to my bosses." I raised the same grievances of my boss having touched my breast with my immediate boss. And my immediate boss said, "Let me consult." Then upon consultation, he told me I should do an official communication to my bosses. That aggrieved me. And by being aggrieved by that, I went even to report to the police station. The matter was reported at the gender desk, but unfortunately, the suspect was moved from the office where I am based to another office. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what was the reaction? Did you maybe talk to other female colleagues about your situation, maybe to know if the same perpetrator did similar thing to other journalists?
Funny enough, I did not keep quiet, and I never kept quiet. I wouldn't have held my peace. And funny enough, when I spoke to my female colleagues whom I work with at the office, they also raised the same issues of him having harassed women in the newsroom sexually. It was a regular habit for him to do so. And they did raise it so much, but with no proper mechanism in the newsroom, even to report cases of sexual harassment. The story just died a natural death. No one was pursued. It was just even made the talk, the joke of the office, that you see so-and-so has been harassing women in this office sexually. But no action was really taken at the office. And I remember one young woman who is younger than me, and I truly did pity her. And when we were to reconcile the cases where he had sexually assaulted, the suspect had sexually assaulted several women, the young women said, "But I'm not ready to undergo all this drama. I'm not ready to undergo, to remember what he did to me. I've already held peace with what he did to me, and I've not confronted him, but I'll never speak to him again because I know that he's a sex predator in the office, and that is how it ended.
In your own words, why is that it's difficult for women journalists to speak up openly about this sexual harassment?
We lack awareness. We've not been sensitized on what you should do as a woman, especially once you face a case of sexual harassment. Even me, myself, when I joined where I work, I was not told that no one should harass you. We do not even sign, we do not have even any clear guidelines on once you are harassed in the newsroom, where do you report? What should you do? There are no clear mechanism even for women to tell their stories. And also another thing that I've witnessed in the newsroom is that we've normalized being sexually molested. We've normalized. We just take it as normal that Sophie was sexually harassed. It is because she has big boobs. It is because she wore a revealing top. It is because of her body structure. No. That person who is harassing you is the same person who is out there harassing other women, but we don't have any clear guidelines even on how should I report once I'm sexually molested. There are no clear guidelines in the newsroom. And men feel superior that us as female journalists in the newsroom, we are like, we are not there to work. We are there to please them. We are there to be sexualized. That is where we go wrong as female journalists. However, in our network, we are championing and advocating for women's rights. No one should sexually molest you. You're there to work, just like your female counterpart. You're there to do any type of job that your male counterpart can deliver. We are here to work. So treat us as your colleagues and not like sexual objects.
On Wings, you are listening to Kenyan news reporter Sophie Njoka speaking to Wings contributing producer Diana Wanyonyi. Aside from harassment, Njoka sees women journalists being overlooked for promotion and tending to be ghettoized into covering certain types of stories.
In the newsroom, the bigger roles, the tough roles are for men. Us as women, we are taken for the softer roles, which is not contrary to today's world. And you see again, in terms of promotion, you find that you have the required grades to get promoted easily, but since you are a woman who will in a few months go for your maternity leave, you've been stagnant in that job group for quite some time. The reason, mostly our bosses tend to promote men whom they perceive stronger for certain roles rather than us women who can also equally perform the same roles that they think that men can better than us. Yes.
Here's how Sophie deals with that.
I've been covering crime, which is male-dominated right now.
Here are some of the topics Sophie Njoka has covered related to women. Efforts underway to arrest more suspects in Mombasa bloggers' rape ordeal. Sex workers down tools to protest surge in femicide. Thousands of sex workers drawn from the coast region have downed their tools in protest of increased cases of femicide in the country. Court orders police to charge businessman arrested for conning dozens of women. A human rights group has now moved to the High Court in Mombasa seeking orders to compel investigative agencies to launch a probe into the generation of post-rape care forms at the Gender-Based Violence Recovery Center in the Coast General Teaching and Referral Hospital. Court directs co-wives to forgive each other after brawl. Man in court for calling his neighbor a prostitute. Woman cries for justice after being assaulted by an American man multiple times. Diana Wanyonyi next asked Sophie Njoka some probing questions about how the Article 27 group, which is comprised of female journalists and human rights defenders, supports the problems of its own journalist members in Kenya.
We have a membership of 15 journalists and a total membership of 60 members, both female journalists and women HRD. We've trained them in various areas, economic empowerment, mentorship. How can I mentor you into becoming a better person?
What is that?
It's in terms of mentorship is I am senior than you, so how did you get there to that seniority position? It's equally the same name as mentorship, yes, but for us we refer to it as mentorship. Economic empowerment, don't be dependent on your employer only. Get a side hustle. Get something else to do besides being employed as a journalist. We've also trained them in terms of both physical and digital training, where mostly we emphasize on the security of a journalist. We always tell our members, no story is worth your life. No story is worth your life. So if you see there is a risk there, know how to maneuver and get out of that risk, safely.
Apart from security and cybercrime, what else have you trained at this journalist?
We've also trained them in terms of reporting cases of sexual harassment. We are working closely with various government agencies, the judiciary, the police, in terms of reporting these cases. Also for easy access in terms of hiding somebody's identity if you do not want your identity to be revealed.
Let's talk about mental health. There are so many things that's going around in the world, especially for us journalists. You know, we talk and air about other people's problem issues, but no one talks about us. We also have our own issues. Now, can you speak about the aspect of mental health to journalists and also their psychological support if there's a problem? Because after COVID, many journalists lost their jobs. Now, how do you go about it in your organization?
We also have an aspect of mental training where we debrief. We have trained counselors as some of our members attached to some of the major institutions in the country, where when you feel you are at the verge of having a breakdown, you can anytime, they are readily available in the WhatsApp group. In the official, we have a separate official group where we feel, this is a case where we feel that you should be attended to urgently. What we usually do, we discuss it in the separate official groups. Then we assign that specific person who is our member, a counselor in the group. We have government-trained counselors in our group where we allocate anyone who feels the need to undergo psychosocial support, mental support. We also do debriefing. Three times yearly, we say, now, let us go out, celebrate ourselves, have fun, and also debrief and tell how it has been. And anyone who had any a mental case was also seen by the counselors. And in case you need a follow-up also, they'll also do the same.
For free?
Yes, for free. We usually do it for free.
And how was the time?
We usually accord priority to our members, our registered members. Mm-hmm. We were about 30, those who went to ATAMU.
And do you think after that session, are there some changes?
Of course. Women are out there doing their work with a lot of energy. Women are out there doing what they're supposed to do for the society with a lot of energy. And for those cases, the few cases that we had, and we saw that there is need for them to be attended more, they're still going on with the counseling and with their sessions. Yes. But so far, so good. We are good to go for the year. And we are okay to perform our duties.
For example, for a journalist who has lost her job, how can you help?
We do help, especially we have a member who lost her job last year. She was sacked moments after she was done reading the news.
Sophie says their organization liaised with Kituo cha Sheria, Kenya's national nonprofit legal advice center.
We liaised with Kituo cha Sheria to see how her employer would make payments for her. And we consulted other organizations to move in for us. The case is now right before court. And so far, so good. She's being helped where it is required. It wouldn't have been made easy if we didn't join hands with women HRDs out there who have shown us even solidarity with cases that we have to fight this monster in the newsroom. With cases of women being violated, they come up in large numbers in courts, even at police stations, just to be our voice. In that situation, you're very vulnerable and a very voiceless journalist.
Are you planning as an organization to expand this to other parts of Kenya?
Of course, yes. We are still a young organization right now. Currently, we are a registered organization. Most of our activities were being funded by the Protect Project, which came to an end last year in November. We are also working with other organizations to see how we shall source for funds and also extend our arms into other counties where there are female journalists also. And we are looking into the possibility of increasing the number of membership in terms of female journalists and even for women human rights defenders to join us across the country.
This group is known as Article 27, referring to a section of the Kenyan Constitution. Six pillars of Article 27 of the Kenya Constitution include 1. Equality before the law. Every person is equal in the eyes of the law and has the right to be treated fairly. 2. Equal protection and benefit of the law. Everyone is entitled to the same legal protection and advantages. 3. Equal enjoyment of all rights. This includes the right to freedom of speech, assembly, religion, and movement, among others, regardless of sex or gender. 4. Equal treatment for women and men. Both men and women are entitled to equal opportunities in all spheres, including political, economic, cultural, and social. 5. Prohibition of discrimination. The state and individuals are prohibited from discriminating against any person on the basis of their race, sex, ethnicity, religion, or any other protected characteristic. 6. Affirmative action. The state can take measures, including affirmative action programs, to address past discrimination and ensure equal access to opportunities for those who have been historically disadvantaged.
These are the six pillars where we base our organization on, and these are the pillars that should self-drive this organization to the next level. Worldwide, in Africa especially, let us arm ourselves. Let us join our hearts and have one voice where we can amplify on us to stop being sexually molested in the newsroom. Let us not normalize that. Let us not make it normal for us to be sexually molested because of the virtue of being a woman. No, let us join hands and stop it by calling out those who are our molesters.
Sophie Njoka is a journalist in Mombasa, Kenya, and a co-founder of the organization Article 27, which includes female journalists and women human rights defenders. She was interviewed by longtime Wings correspondent Diana Wanyonyi. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose events can be viewed on the website maternalgifteconomymovement.org. That's all one word, maternalgifteconomymovement.org. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frida Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations. Postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.